All right, welcome to the Michael Slate Show. I'm your host, Michael Slate. Today's show is going to bring voices from a critical emergency organizing meeting to stop the Trump and Pence regime before it starts. This fascist regime, stop it before it starts. And that meeting was held on December 19th at New York City's Cooper Union. The meeting was attended by at least 260 people and watched online by over 200,000 people. A rich diversity of speakers talked about the danger people face, the potential for stopping the fascist regime before it's allowed to take power on January 20th, and they made plans for 4 weeks of actions coming up. The speakers included P.Z. Myers, a biologist and professor at the University of Minnesota Morris, author of the Pharyngula blog, Fran Luck, the executive director of Joy of Resistance Multicultural Feminist Radio at WBAI in New York, Isabel Cardenas, a Los Angeles immigrant rights leader, Jeremy Scahill, founding senior editor of The Intercept, the author of Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army, Carl Dix from the Revolutionary Communist Party, Chase Iron Eyes, part of the fight of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe against the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline, hip-hop artist Immortal Technique, known for his courageous political stands, Andy Z, spokesperson for Revolution Books in New York City, Gloria Steinem, author and feminist activist, Pastor Doris Johnson from South Queens, and Imam Ayub Abdul Baki, Justice Committee of the Islamic Leadership in New York. You can hear more of this entire event than what you're going to hear today by going to refusefascism.org, and I really, really recommend that you go there and watch the video. All right, there's a lot that we weren't able to include in this because of the limits of time and space, but I really advise everyone to go and listen to this, and especially, you know, check things out. For instance, Jeremy Scahill's comments during the event were very important and include a really scathing assessment of just who these Nazis are that make up the Trump-Pence regime. So we're going to start off now with Sansara Taylor, writer for Revolution Newspaper and RevCom.us.
If you are sick at heart, if you are outraged, if you are scared, if you are wondering what the hell just happened, how did we get into this place and what do we need to do about it, then you are in the right place. Welcome to the emergency organizing meeting to stop Trump and Pence before they come to power. Union who came out on this cold night, and welcome to everybody tuning in on live stream and gatherings around the country or on your own. Let me correct that. Nobody who is watching this is alone. We are in this together. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'm one of the co-initiators of the movement refusefascism.org. You'll hear more about this tonight, and as you might have guessed by now, I am your MC for the evening. So we'll be going on this journey together. Very powerful voices are telling you that the fight is over, that Trump has won, that you should get used to pussy grabbing and neo-Nazis, white supremacists and women haters, immigrant bashing, constitution shredding, and war crimes. Get used to science deniers and planet destroyers. Get used to theocrats. Get used to hate crimes. Get used to intimidation. Get used to being scared, get used to being silent, get used to it all. We are here tonight to say no. Trump and Pence are not in power yet. This fight is not over, and we are not done. We are not getting used to fascism. We are getting organized to stop it. We are here tonight because we know in our gut, in our soul, in our bones, that something very, very bad has just happened. But through the course of this evening, with the incredible speakers that we have for you tonight, we're going to learn that actually, it is far worse than most of us realize. But that's not all. We are here because we want to do something about this. And tonight, our speakers are going to show us that there is something we can do about it. Not just to mark our disapproval and then get used to it. Not to try to find a way to survive the fascism that's coming, but a way to stop it. To literally change the course of history. Tonight is going to be an evening of sober-eyed confrontation with terrifying truths. And tonight is going to be a summoning of audacious daring and courage, of strength and understanding, of unity and direction. Tonight is going to be a night of transformation. Each of us becoming, and all of us together becoming, a collective force that is bursting with diversity, but sealed in a unified determination to act decisively, to bring forward millions and millions to join us to stop Trump and Pence before they come to power. So again, I want to welcome you all. You are in the right place. I look forward to spending an evening with you. I look forward to spending the next 32 intense days with you. I want to introduce our first speaker. He flew out from Minnesota. He is a co-initiator of this effort. He is a developmental evolutionary biologist. He is a professor who is ominously on the right-wing watch list that was just created. Something he's proud of, it makes us proud to have him with us, but it's a very dangerous thing. He's been ranked one of the most popular science bloggers, actually the most popular science blogger and atheist blogger, ultimately. His blog is called Farangula. He is a passionate and talented popularizer of science, taking on notions like intelligent design and other things. I ask you to give a warm welcome, joining me in bringing to the stage P.C. Myers.
So, I'm standing here as a human being who is outraged by recent circumstances, just as every one of you is, as well. I have no special qualities to make me uniquely representative or to warrant my presence on this stage, and if I had my way, we'd every one of us rise up and march together now in unity in our opposition. Fortunately, I think you'll have an opportunity to do that later. You'll have many opportunities to do that in this next month. So I feel a little bit humbled here because I've been asked to say a few words for one small sector of the American experience. I am an educator and a scientist. As an educator and a scientist, in addition to as a human being, I am horrified. We have elected a post-truth president. Worse, he is actively anti-truth. He is the antithesis of everything reason and science stand for. So let me give you a few examples of Trump's anti-science stand, and all we have to do, fortunately, is look at his Twitter feed. So way back in 2014, he's been in this for a long time, there was an Ebola outbreak in Africa, and he wrote this appalling statement. He said, the U.S. cannot allow Ebola-infected people back. People that go to faraway places to help out are great, but must suffer the consequences. Think about the callous sensitivity in that remark. Not only should the innocents afflicted with this horrible disease be neglected, but the courageous medical professionals who went to their aid should be refused entry back into this country. Cowardice and an inhuman disregard for the lives of our best and bravest. Is this the man who we want to be our president?
No!
More recently, he just demonstrated gross ignorance. He wrote, autism rates are through the roof. Why doesn't the Obama administration do something about doctor-inflicted autism? So he's anti-vaccination. That's a well-supported, safe medical procedure that saves millions of lives. And he's against it because he denies the robust evidence that shows that it works and refutes any claim that it causes autism. He goes further and accuses doctors of conspiring to cause autism. This is destructive to the health of our people, but then it's clear that he has little interest in helping the needy. Is this the man who we want to be president of our country?
No!
Another example of inflammatory, dangerous conspiracy about theories from the Twitter feed of Mr. Trump. The concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese in order to make U.S. manufacturing non-competitive. That's unbelievable. Climate scientists are fundamentally unanimous in their agreement on this matter. The climate is changing. It is caused by rising concentrations of greenhouse gases. These gases are largely generated from human sources, from industry, from automobiles, from rising demands for energy produced from fossil fuels. This is a crisis, and we must respond and respond soon. Trump's response is to deny reality and to ascribe the concern to yet another conspiracy theory and to blame a foreign power. This is dangerous madness. And again, I have to ask, is this the man we want to be president of our country?
No.
It's more than just what he has said. It's what he has already done. He has appointed an Exxon executive to be the Secretary of State. His administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency is a lawyer who has always sided with the oil, coal, and gas industry and wants to destroy the EPA. His Secretary of the Interior does not accept the science of climate change and wants to strip away safeguards to protect, well, the Interior. His Secretary of Energy is a man who declared his intention to destroy the office of Secretary of Energy, although he also forgot the name of the position during his campaign. I also have mentioned another enduring long-term threat. His Secretary of Education is someone who campaigns to impoverish and destroy public education. Apparently, ignorance is a virtue fascism wants to encourage. Is this the man we want to be president of our country?
No.
One last thing. These are not merely differences of opinion. Trump has embraced the fascist dream of enforcing his opinions with threats of violence. Recently, Michael Mann, a well-known and highly respected climate scientist, wrote about his experience with the thugs of the right wing, who have become bolder after this election. In a Washington Post opinion piece, he wrote this, "I have faced hostile investigations by politicians, demands for me to be fired from my job, threats against my life, even threats against my family. These threats have diminished in recent years as man-made climate change has become recognized as the overwhelming scientific consensus and as climate science has received the support of the federal government. With the coming Trump administration, my colleagues and I are steeling ourselves for a renewed onslaught of intimidation from inside and outside government. It will be bad for our work and bad for our planet." And then there have been threats of violence. I've received email warnings that the public will come after you, suggesting that I'll find myself 6 feet under and hoping to read that I had committed suicide. I can tell you that Michael Mann is not alone. I teach evolutionary biology and have likewise received threats of violence, death threats, promises to get me fired from my job, threats against my family. I have been placed on the professor watch list by far right-wing propagandists because I took a strong stand against scientifically fallacious and ethically unconscionable racism promoted by my campus neo-Nazi propagandists. This is plainly fascism, and we have no choice. We must say no in the name of humanity. We refuse to accept a fascist America.
Administration and the work not only of decades but of literally generations of trying to bring women out of the slough of incredible oppression that was under rule of law in the past is going to be set way, way back unless we stop it. You've heard of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Well, I'm going to call what women now face the three horsemen of the Trumpocalypse. They are, first of all, the groper-in-chief, Donald Trump himself, who's braggadocio about sexually assaulting women, because he could get away with it, has already led to numerous reported incidents of increased sexual harassment of women. Women are being grabbed by the crotch, by men and by girl, by men and by boys, rather, in his name. One report I read really stands out for its symbolism. A woman in Penn Station rejected a man's advances and was told, quote, "I can't wait until Trump gets elected so I can force bitches like you to their knees." The word bitch itself, which is so often used to dehumanize women and as a precursor to violence against women, has been totally normalized by the Trump campaign. There have been Nuremberg-like rallies where hordes of people yell, "bitch, bitch, bitch," at his opponent Hillary Clinton and wore t-shirts saying the same thing. In Trump's America, the terrain for women is becoming very rough and very physically dangerous. And misogyny is, of course, intersectional, with women wearing hijabs or perceived as immigrants or women of color being doubly, triply in danger. Moving on, the second horseman of the Trumpocalypse is Mike Pence and the Christian evangelist that he represents. They want women to lose all autonomy in one of the most important decisions of her life, the right to decide when and if she bears children. Thousands of laws limiting this so far constitutional right to abortion have been passed in state after state, so that abortion is now not obtainable in 90% of U.S. counties, although it is still on the books. There are all kinds of limitations, from forced vaginal ultrasounds to parental notifications to having to travel to other states to get abortions and spend money that you may not have on hotel rooms and all of the costs associated with that kind of travel. That will, of course, increase under a Trump administration. Trump has, of course, said that he will appoint Supreme Court justices overturning Roe v. Wade, that women should be punished for having abortions. Under Mike Pence in Indiana, we've had recently a law, well, we had the attempt, I should say, at a law that would force women to have funerals for fetuses, which is now just passed in Texas. Under Pence, Purvi Patel and other women have been jailed for essentially miscarriages. So we have that second horseman of the Trumpocalypse, that is Mike Pence. And we also have the right of conscience of the Christian right to deny women birth control in pharmacies and insurance plans. So the U.S. is in danger of becoming, like many countries in the world, one where abortion is not obtainable, and this results in 60 to 70,000 women a year dying of illegal botched abortions. We are about to join those countries if we do not stop it. Lastly, we have the third horseman of the Trumpocalypse, that's Paul Ryan, and his henchman Tom Price, who is the new HHS, Health and Human Services chief, and that third face is austerity. As a result of male supremacist societies, women make less money than men and are more impoverished and more dependent on public entitlements such as Social Security, food stamps, welfare, Medicare, and Medicaid. These are all programs that Paul Ryan's Congress and Tom Price's HHS want to shrink, want to privatize, want to abolish. So the overall vision for what is to happen for women if this unbelievably anti-woman misogynist administration takes shape and goes forward is a great leap backward into subservience, aka barefoot pregnant in the kitchen. And the modus operandi is, if you can't frighten them by threats of physical violence, you can force them to divert their energies into raising unwanted children, like Pence, or you can starve them into submission like Ryan and Price wanted to do. So, are we going to accept this?
No.
I, for one, am not. Thousands, millions of women and our allies are not. There is already a lot of organizing going on, and I want to commend this incredible effort, which all of us should be part of. We have got to stop them in their tracks as soon as we possibly can. Thank you.
This is the Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate. We're listening to voices from a critical emergency organizing meeting to stop the Trump and Pence regime before it starts. This is a Nazi regime, folks, and that meeting was held December 19th at New York City's Cooper Union. So now back to Sansara Taylor.
You just heard a lot of things, including a lot of things that have been going on, what gave rise to the situation and the extreme dangers of Trump and DeVos and Pence. This is a qualitative leap. This is fascism. There's no Democrat going to save us. There's nobody out there who's going to save us but us, the masses of people. Acting now, decisively, relying on ourselves, looking out to the millions who've been trained that it's not their place to take history into their own hands. It is our place. It is our duty right now. So to take us further on this journey tonight, I want to bring up somebody very special. He's somebody who joined with me just over a week ago in initiating this effort, and we are just getting started, and you need to be part of this. You need to be an active part of this, learning, contributing, and struggling with everybody you know and acting in ways you've never acted before. This man got his start in political life when he was drafted to fight in that genocidal war in Vietnam, and he said hell no. He refused to fight. In military prison for 2 years, 1 year of which was solitary, he came out unrepentant. He became a revolutionary, a member of the Movement for Black Liberation, and then a founding member of the Revolutionary Communist Party USA. He's a long-distance freedom fighter. He is a co-founder, together with Cornel West, of the Stop Mass Incarceration Network. He is somebody who's been on the front lines from Ferguson to Baltimore to Standing Rock to Baton Rouge, everywhere people are standing up and fighting back, and everywhere that the masses of people are being gunned down by police, Black and Latino people, and many other injustices. You can find Carl Dix. We are very honored to have you with us tonight.
Let's face what we're actually up against. There's a grave danger looming over humanity. Just a little more than a month from tonight, a fascist regime, the Trump-Pence regime, is slated to take the reins of power in society, in this the most powerful country in the world. This will have dire consequences for humanity if it is allowed to happen. It isn't just that Trump campaigned on a program that included a lot of horrendous things. I mean, he promised to bar Muslims from entering the country, to surveil and deport them. He promised to build a wall on the border with Mexico and to deport millions of immigrant workers. As he campaigned, he told lie after lie after lie, and he threatened those who opposed to expose his lies. He whipped up a lynch mob atmosphere at his rallies, targeting minorities, dissenters, or people in the press. And it isn't just that he's assembling a team of ghouls to carry out this program. Open white supremacists, religious fanatics, militarists and the like. It's all of this taken together. This is a fascist regime. Now the website revcom.us has described fascism as follows. The exercise of blatant dictatorship by the bourgeois capitalist imperialist class, ruling through reliance on open terror and violence, trampling on what are supposed to be civil and legal rights, wielding the power of the state, and mobilizing organized groups of fanatical thugs to commit atrocities against masses of people, particularly groups of people identified as enemies, undesirables, or dangerous to society. This is what the Trump-Pence regime will mean to the country and to the world. We must not let this go down. We must act now and stop this regime before it gets started. And look, I know that this system, this capitalist imperialist system, already inflicts unspeakable horrors on people in this country and around the world. I know that it's devastating the environment of the very planet that we live on. People here have been fighting that for years. I know that the U.S. wages wars for empire in the Middle East that have caused the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people and driven countless millions into exile. People like Jeremy have done tremendous exposure of that. I know that in this country, women are treated like sex objects and punching bags. I know that their right to choose to have an abortion is under attack. Many people in this room, including Fran and others, have been in this battle to fight to stop those attacks. I know that black people face savage oppression, mass incarceration, police terror, an education system that's geared to fail our youth, and more. And I stood shoulder to shoulder with a lot of you in the fight to stop that. I also know that record numbers of undocumented immigrants have been rounded up and deported under the so-called immigration President Obama. And some people here in this room have been fighting that over the past 8 years and more too. But if this Trump-Pence regime is allowed to take power, all of these horrors will be greatly intensified. It'll be like they got put on steroids. And this regime will move to violently repress, if necessary, or intimidate any and all who dissent against it, who promote critical thinking of reality. And it'll move to cut off all possibility of resisting all these horrors. We've seen this happen before in Nazi Germany in the 1930s, in Chile and other countries in the 1970s. The whole society is drastically and dramatically changed. And the horrors that go down darken the sky is one story in putting. And it does so for a long time. If you want to understand this, here's another way to look at it. Let's look at what happened after the end of the Civil War here in this country. Now, slavery was abolished. Black people got the right to vote. Some black people got elected to positions in the government. And an education system was set up that gave black people access to education for the first time. This was a tremendous change. But it was also a tremendous shock, especially to white people in the South. And some of the people who voted for Trump ain't got over that shock yet. Some of them still think the Civil War got the side of wrong and they wish the other side had won. What followed was a period called Reconstruction. It wasn't paradise, but black people were able to raise their heads and to make some gains. They had to do this against continued terror and resistance from white supremacists, but at least black people could contest this and fight. But then in 1876, after a disputed presidential election, Reconstruction was overthrown. The defeated forces of the Confederacy were allowed to take power back, and they used that power to change everything. They snatched back just about every right that black people had won, and they murdered thousands of black people in the process. And then they killed thousands more over the following decades with lynch mobs and other kinds of terror. They created a situation where every black person knew that at any time they could be killed by whites for any reason or no reason at all. This had dire consequences for black people for decades to come after that. See, and here I have to say that if you're one of these people who, like some of these misguided comedians who said, well, black people have survived worse than Trump, we'll get through this too, I got two things I want to ask you. One, why would you want to go through shit like that again? That's one. Two, why wouldn't you want to stand up and join with others to act to stop it in the interest of all of humanity? So that's why I'm here tonight, and that's why we're all here, to stop a fascist regime from taking the reins of power in society. And the unity that we need to do this has to encompass tens of millions of people who see the importance of doing this. Now, a lot of y'all know me. I'm still the same guy. I'm a revolutionary communist. I'm a follower of Bob Fagan. Spent my life fighting to make revolution and bring it to being a radically different world. And I know that this is still what humanity needs to end the horrors of this system once and for all, and then making this revolution possible. And right now, coming from that viewpoint, I see the need, the burning need, to throw in with everybody else to accomplish a goal that is far short of the revolution. And that goal is stopping the Trump and his regime before it gets started. I see the need to do that because humanity needs to stop this regime to be able to fight for any kind of larger goal. So that's what we need to do. Now, how do we do it? To get into that, I want to read a paragraph from the plan issued by RefuseFascism.org. Imagine if people in the tens of millions filled the streets, powerfully declaring that this regime is illegitimate and demanding that it not be allowed to rule. The whole political landscape could be dramatically transformed. Every faction within the established power structure would be forced to respond. And all this could well lead to a situation in which this fascist regime is actually prevented from ruling. This is not some idle dream, but something which could be made a reality if all those who hate what is represented by this regime translate their outrage into firm determination and massive mobilization to create the conditions which make this possible. So that's what we need to do, and it begins right here tonight. Everybody in this room and everybody watching on the live stream has got to get involved in making this happen, starting now. We've got to get organized into this, and then we, all of us, have to go out and organize others into it, unleashing them to go out and organizing others still into it. And we've only got a month to do this, so we can't lose any time in making this happen. We've got to reach out in every way that we can to let others know that we need to mobilize millions to stop this bad regime. You've got to talk about this at your workplaces. You've got to talk about this in your places of worship. You've got to talk about this in your communities. Students have an important role to play in this, to make it happen. I mean, if you're a college student, you can spend your winter break organizing this effort to stop the Trump-Pence regime from taking the reins of power. So you can also reach through your networks to other students, even if they aren't taking classes right now. And this is an effort that needs to go viral. And students can put their effort into making it go viral, spreading it everywhere through social media and in other ways. And the high schools are still in session, and they'll go back into session right after the holidays. So that's an arena where organizing to stop this regime can begin right now. Now look, the holidays are coming up, but this ain't going to be a break in this effort. It's got to be a time to get more people organized into it. Religious gatherings that take place during the holiday season need to be places where people hear about the need to act to stop this fascist regime and get organized into it. You have the family gatherings during the holiday? Well, a topic of discussion has to be the need to stop this Trump-Pence regime and how to do it and get people organized into it. And then afterward, we got to come back together and take this no, which is the symbol of this effort, and the call for this effort to resist to another level, getting it out everywhere and raising the money needed to make this happen. Then on New Year's Eve, people need to take to the streets everywhere, being a living manifesto of the mass determination that exists broadly in society to act to stop this fascist regime. Every Trump property anywhere in the country and even anywhere in the world needs to have a demonstration out in front of it saying no to fascism on New Year's Eve. And that no symbol needs to be everywhere, at the demonstrations, posted up and spread online, put up on the walls, and maybe somebody will even come up with a creative way for it to prominently appear in Times Square on New Year's Eve. Then, as January opens, the call to refuse to accept the fascist America is going to appear as an ad in a major publication like the New York Times, many other places, in print and online, broadly sounding the alarm on the danger that this regime poses for the country and the world, and calling on people to join the effort to stop it. And then, Beginning with January 3rd, we've got to lead people into the street in mass actions. Mass actions that call to mind the way the people responded after the system refused to indict the cops who murdered Mike Brown in Ferguson and Eric Garner in New York. With people taking to the streets day after day, staying in the streets, disrupting business as usual. These actions also have to bring to mind Occupy.
Yeah.
The people in the streets day and night, standing together against injustice. We gotta be doing this every day. We gotta be growing as we do it, spreading the word, because we gotta reach tens of millions, 100 million people with this. We gotta have that many people knowing about it in order to get the millions of people in the streets that are gonna be needed to do this. January 12 and 13, that's a day of school walkouts all across the country. College, that's gotta be the day when, if you're in college, high school, even middle school, you step out on that day because you don't want your future to be having to endure being ruled by a fascist regime. Then we're up to the Martin Luther King holiday weekend. That's a weekend when people got to pour into D.C. on a whole other level in powerful actions aimed at stopping this regime. Not just going down and registering that you don't like it and go home, but going down there to act to stop it and staying in D.C. Don't go back home at the end of the weekend. Stay in D.C. Demonstrate all over the city. Disrupt the business as usual of that town all through that week. And as we do that, call on others to join us. Join us in acting and disrupting the business as usual to stop this fascist regime from taking power. And look, those of you that can't get to D.C., okay, well, you try to get there, but if you can't make it, act wherever you are. Be in the streets together with us, even if you're geographically separate from us, acting together to do the same thing, to stop this illegitimate regime from taking power. See, and all of these efforts taken together would be aimed at creating an unprecedented political crisis in society that could lead to the stopping of this illegitimate regime. Now, this ain't something that's going to be easy, but it is possible. I mean, I've been around a while. You can see that by that grade here. During my lifetime, presidents have been driven from office, including in this country. LBJ didn't just decide he didn't want to run again. It was the crisis and the chaos in society that forced that decision. But let's get more recent so that it's in everybody's memory. Let's go back a few years to Egypt. They had an illegitimate regime. Millions of people took to the streets, Tahrir Square, and stayed in the street until that regime was toppled. Because, see, millions of people can come suddenly and seemingly out of nowhere when the dam bursts. We got to burst that dam in acting to stop this regime. I'm going to read again that paragraph from the plan issued by RefuseFascism.org. Imagine if people in the tens of millions fill the streets, powerfully declaring that this regime is illegitimate, and demanding that it not be allowed to rule. The whole political landscape would be dramatically transformed. Every faction within the established power structure would be forced to respond. And all this could well lead to a situation in which this fascist regime is actually prevented from ruling. This is not some idle dream, but something which could be made a reality if all those who hate what is represented by this fascist regime translate their outrage into firm determination and massive mobilization to create the conditions which make this possible. For this to happen, we all need to organize on another level. We need to become the organizers of organizers of organizers. We need to throw our all in on this for the next month and more. Because just think what it would have meant if people had been able to join together to stop Hitler before his regime got started. Think of the difference it would have made for humanity. Well, I'm not trying to minimize what Hitler did, but today we're facing a fascist regime that's determined to institute a fascist rule with a finger on the nuclear buttons, aiming to make America first. We can stop this if we fight hard, creatively, and with unity. And the future of humanity may depend upon our success. Thank you, sister.
That was Carl Dix, founding member of the Revolutionary Communist Party. We're going to take a quick musical break and be right back, so stay tuned.
They say sing what you know, but I've sung what they want. Some folks do what they're told, but baby, this time I won't. When I look through that door, I know the truth from lie. Some things are done before I can't justify. There are kings in my past, things no one can be proud of. But I stand in the light I've cast and turn away from any lack of love. Oh, when I walk through that door, I say, here I go. You see me and nothing more. I'm singing what I know. I know better. I know better.
Welcome back. That was I Know Better from John Legend and his new album, Darkness and Light. We've got two more segments from the emergency organizing meeting to stop the Trump and Pence regime before it starts. First, we'll hear from Andy Z, spokesperson for Revolution Books, New York City. And finally, we'll hear some concluding comments from Sansara Taylor.
No! A month of resistance. We're going to make this whole country feel the power of no. And we're gathered here today at Cooper Union, and people are watching around the country and around the world, because tens of millions of people are in anguish about what this will mean for the future. We've heard quite a bit about that tonight, and you just heard from Carl Dix on the plan. Those of you here tonight and those who have signed the call and those of us who have initiated this are here, as Carl said, to organize the organizers of the organizers. Speaking of tens of millions of people getting out in the streets and staying in the streets cannot just be nice rhetoric. It cannot just be wishful thinking. People need to understand that you cannot wait out fascism, that the time to organize against it is before it starts. I thought Carl brought this home. People need to know that there is a way to act on this basic truth. And tonight, each of you has a solemn responsibility to be a part of mobilizing millions. So no! The Trump-Pence regime must not attain power. They must not have the authority to curtail and potentially even to eliminate the right to dissent. And no, we will not let these lying thugs drastically undermine what is actually true and the people's access to information through their bullying, intimidation, and outright suppression of journalism, science, and the art. No! The full power of the USA must not be wielded to enforce the midnight Twitter ravings of Donald Trump and the Twitter swarming of the fascist minions that he leads. No, we must not let Donald Trump use the bully pulpit of the presidency and the force of the state to get back into the vigilantism of those who would be his stormtroopers, moving to suppress immigrants, blacks, Latinos, LGBTQ people, and anyone outside their fascist white power world. They are trying to bludgeon this into place, and they will do it fast. There is history to learn from, and history that must not be repeated. So no, tonight we will start organizing. You look around the room, and it's so wonderful that you all came out tonight on 3 days' notice. But you look around the room, and you see hundreds of us and perhaps thousands watching on live stream. How are we going to make this road to millions? How are we not going to allow the reins of state power to get into the clutches of this Trump-Pence regime. There's a lot of people saying we have to step up our struggle for justice. There's many people who have a vision of a better world. I just have to say to you tonight that if that's where you're coming from, if you cannot imagine how much more difficult that's going to be under a fascist regime. You must understand that and what kind of change it makes, and let it not be the case that we failed to do everything we could to stop it. Again, I'm going to say, we must not fail to do everything we can do in this month to stop them. And we means you, and we means all of us. Everyone who's listening, everyone here, must become organizers. You have to reach out and arouse people. You have to get into what it is that we are facing and reach into the hearts and the thinking of millions of people. 2 weeks ago, Sansara and Carl and I initiated this plan, and we quickly got some other people on board. But I want to speak to you frankly that part of what inspired us is that we were making plans. We were doing things at Revolution Books, 65 defiant days. But we looked at everything we were doing, and we said it wasn't up to what we are facing. It wasn't up to what all these diverse political forces are doing. There's lots of people organizing, lots of important efforts. But if we stopped and thought about what this is really going to mean, we had to confront the fact that none of it was going to stop the fascism. In fact, some of it was even slated to take part after it was started. This is not sufficient. It is important, but it needs to be brought together in a way to stop this. And I want to thank those the speakers who came out on such short notice and all of you who came out. And I want to say that that has to be the pace of things. This urgency is what needs to characterize every day from here to January 20th. No, as Carl said, these holidays must not be your normal holiday. These are not normal times. You must not allow anything to be normal because there is nothing normal about Donald Trump and the fascist regime he wants to bring to power. So yes, step one, as Carl said, is going to be to turn this Hanukkah, Christmas, and for those of you who have these contentious atheist family gatherings, into organizing sessions where you get out with your relatives and start doing things around this. You need to go talk to your religious leaders and your community leaders right now to get on board with this, to lead people out of the mosque, out of the synagogue, out of the church. Take to the streets. Stand in silence. Make a lot of noise. Either one. All of it. That's what we need. These no signs, you have them in your packet. These have to proliferate. They have to be everywhere. Organize vigils, organize marches. Make it known so that millions can start seeing this sign. Every lamppost, every office, every coffee shop, everywhere. High schools, colleges. No, hold fundraisers. This is very important. There was a big applause when Carl said we should put an ad in the New York Times. That's tens of thousands of dollars, but it can't start with or stop with the New York Times. We have to be in the internet. And that too is expensive. Think about what it's going to cost to conduct Occupy-type protests all across the country, and especially in Washington, D.C. So over the holidays, this is the time to raise really big money to make this possible. Stop and think about it. What if you do, and what if we don't? If you organize this, you raise money and spread this word among thousands and tens of thousands and ultimately hundreds of thousands of people, this can be done. Do not underestimate the power of no. I believe that this is a time when a two-letter word can express and give shape to the will of millions of people. And let the people who are anguishing right now about a Trump-Pence administration, let all those who are seething with anger and rage, who are starting to organize and think about life under a fascist regime, know that they are not alone and that there actually is a plan and a way to stop this. Let them see that no. Let them have that as an expression of their feelings that this regime is illegitimate and immoral. And be in part enabling them to know that there is a way out of this to stop it before it starts. And yes, Let those in power see and feel the snow everywhere. Let it be the case that there's nowhere they can turn where this isn't coming up. Organize. There's no one but the people in this room and the people listening who can do this. We must become millions, and we must become millions in a matter of weeks. Protesting every day and every night, and fairly soon staying through the night, not just for one day, not just for a week, but until this regime is unseated, or of course prevented from being seated.
As you have seen tonight, we are people of faith, and we are atheists. We are revolutionaries, we are Democrats. Some of us are radical, some of us are pacifists, some of us are in between, some of us are in Standing Rock, some of us are in New York City, some of us are tuning in online. We make up a tremendous diversity, and frankly, we need to get so much more diverse, so much broader, so many more millions. And I want to just reiterate, in one moment, we're bringing everybody back on stage, and we're going to send off together. But if you are a student, you have the mission of your generation. You have to rouse your generation now. If you fought in the 1960s, if you sat in, if you Freedom Rode, if you stopped the war, if you burned your draft card, if you said hell no, get back out here. If you are like the growing numbers of Jewish voices with families and memories of the tattoos on the arms of people who were put in concentration camps, if you're part of a fraction who can tell that story because so many were lost, raise your voice now and do not let anybody sit back. If you are like the Japanese Americans who just did a march through downtown LA, who said, we remember the internment camps, and we will stand with our Muslim sisters and brothers. You need to bring that energy into this now. If you are giving money to all the important groups that fight for abortion rights and reproductive justice, who fight for civil rights and for the movement for Black lives, if you are giving for people who are doing services for immigrants who have to endure the horrors and the terror that is rippling, shockwaving through immigrant communities right now, you are right to do it, but think of the difference. To give everything you can right now to stop this, not to try to survive it, because millions will not survive it. Most of you here and most of you watching know you're not Rosa Parks, and know you're not the four who sat down at a lunch counter, and know you're not the ones who led and started Standing Rock, and know you didn't do all those things. Some of you did. But a lot of you didn't. But you know what? None of them did it before they did it. Right now, history is calling, and it's calling you. It's calling you. It's calling every one of us. And nobody here, don't let yourself tell yourself that myth, that lie, that inexcusable rationalization that I'm just one person, that I don't have significance, that no one listens to me. If you tell the truth, if you tell the sober, cold-eyed, terrifying truth, and you are willing to put your body behind it, put your name behind it, put your stature behind it, then you will rouse the sleeping, the terrified, the anguish. There are tens of millions of us who are looking for direction right now. You will rouse them, and you need to become a leader of them, an organizer of them, and we will help you. We have different people with much experience who are in this movement. We're building a national office. Move to New York and volunteer. Sign up here and volunteer. Organize where you're at. We have 32 days. And what you do in the next 32 days will have a greater bearing on the future of humanity and the planet than almost anything you could imagine doing if we sit back in 32 years after this regime, if we allow it. And that's not an exaggeration. Andy Z gave the analogy to Hitler. Many people, this I'm going to close with, but many people have heard, and many more need to hear and take to heart the essential lesson that Pastor Martin Niemöller gave. He did not resist the Nazis. He ended up in a concentration camp for 8 years. He said, first they came for the communists, but I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists. Then they came for this one. By the time they came for me, there was no one left to speak up. That is a lesson we have to take on board now. But the other thing that I want to quote from him, very few people have heard. And he said, listen, he spent his life after he survived the concentration camps. He traveled the world. And he said, if we had risen up in the beginning, before Hitler crushed the resistance, before they jailed people and executed and tortured communists and others who were protesting and dissenting and put a chill throughout society, if we had stood up, he said, maybe 30 or 40,000 of us would have lost our heads. But think of what we would have prevented. Now, I'm not trying to get anybody hurt, but I'm trying to stop a world of hurt. And no price is too high to pay right now to stop with this fascist administration, with this fascist regime, with this theocratic, war criminal, genocidal, woman-hating, vicious regime has in store.
All right, that was Sansara Taylor, writer for Revolution Newspaper. Once again, the website for all this is refusefascism.org. Their Facebook page is also refusefascism.org. And you can go there for events all around the country, coming up on New Year's Eve and continuing on throughout the month. On Twitter, it's at refusefascism and the hashtag of NoFascistUSA. And very important, you can watch the video of the entire emergency meeting at refusefascism.org. And you can really get a sense of the breadth of the people involved in this and the need for so many more others just like yourself to get involved. And that brings us to the end of yet another show and another year. And I want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, my engineer, Kiana Williams, and all of you for tuning in throughout this year. And if you'd like to write to me, comment, ask questions, or volunteer to help produce the show, you can do that by writing to me at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. You can also friend me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. We're going to go out now with I Gotta Go from the Rolling Stones and their new album, Blue and Lonesome. Talk to you again next week.